So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Welcome back, everyone. Rolling along here in hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Happy Wednesday. Sabres pick up a 5-3 win yesterday over the Vancouver Canucks. A little bit closer than you would have liked it. They were leading that game at 4-0 in the third. For more, though, on last night's win, go to the Western Hotline. Paul Hamilton joins us now. Paul, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. So how are you feeling as the Sabres were almost letting that win get away?
It was, you know, it's not like it used to be. I mean, two, 3 years ago, they would have lost that game without question. I mean, there was just no way they would have held on to win it. They would have froze. They would have sat back. And it would have been, it turned into a complete disaster. But it's this team's a little bit different now. And Lindy Ruff very, very wisely used his timeout after the third goal. And I watched him. He wasn't animated. He didn't appear to be screaming at them or anything like that. He basically pulled them aside and said, look, you guys have been holding leads very well really recently. You know how to do it. You know what kind of battle is going to be involved in doing it. Go out, win your battles, and you guys will be fine. And that's what they did. They settled down, and a couple minutes later, they wound up with the empty net goal from Doan and put it away and won the hockey game. So it was a good response, I thought, to come out, basically play their game, and they had to kill two early penalties. And it was kind of a third-period penalty, which is the one thing they have not solved yet, is taking dumb third-period penalties. Now, the high stick, I'm not going to say, is dumb. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens every now and then. You can say you got to take care of your stick and not, get it up high and cut somebody. But it's not like when you're, slashing somebody's stick out of their hands. That happened for one of the third period penalties and that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say it was dumb. Maybe a little bit careless. Just, you got to know where your stick is and what's happening. But that kind of is what got things started, the double minor to Thompson. And with 9 seconds left in the first minor, they score a goal, and they didn't score on the second minor, but then you had to kill the other 2 minutes because you didn't quite get the first one off the board before they scored. And then they get a couple of quick ones after that, and you're sitting at 4-3. I don't think Zach Metz ever dreamed that when he scored in the third period to make it 4-0 that his goal was going to become the game-winning goal, which is what happened.
Paul, yesterday it did seem interesting, and I think that he's a lightning rod type of player for a lot of Sabres fans, but I thought that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was fantastic last night. He really set the stage for what was looking like at first a dominant win, and then after that flurry happens, he does ultimately help shut the door and make sure that it stays a W.
Yeah, maybe the last goal you could chat about.
Yep.
Byram went down and he went down too early, and they just walked around him, the Vancouver player, and you could make the case that maybe Luukkonen was too far into his net, which gave him the far side to hit, which he did. But yeah, overall, I'm not really the other two goals. No, I'm not blaming Luukkonen on it. He made some great saves in that. Is even with giving up 3 goals in the third period, his goals against at home this year is still under 2. I think it's 199, if I recall correctly. And, he's 6-1 at home. So, he plays very well at home. And now I would say 4 of his last 5 games have been excellent. Nobody had a good game in Columbus, including him. So that would be the outlier. But, he seems to be finding his game on a more consistent basis. And, Lindy Ruff said yesterday morning that, after the game in Saturday, he had total confidence in Luukkonen that he was going to, come back and play well, and he did. And especially early, those power plays came early, and Boy, they had that schmozzle in the crease where Lukanen was swimming around just doing anything he could to try to keep the puck out. He had his teammates right with him, and you saw a lot of desperation from the whole team there to try to keep the puck out of the net. They did, you know, but there were guys all over the ice just trying to make sure that puck didn't wind up in the net. I thought they did a good job winning battles, coming back from the Columbus game. So, you know, it showed, I think, maturity even after the Columbus game right away. First thing out of their mouths, well, all right, this happens. We're not going to win 50 in a row. We know that. We're not happy about it, but it's on to Tuesday. And Tuesday, to me, it wasn't the Columbus game that I even thought about, quite honestly. It was how are you going to handle the Columbus game moving forward? And I'd say they handle it well.
Yeah, Paul, I was pretty thrilled overall with the game yesterday because, I mean, me and Derek have talked about it. I think me and you have talked about it, too, off-air. Just, you know, the win streak is nice and all. It's how you handle that first loss. Do you all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you won 10 in a row, but you then, you know, lost 5 in a row to match that. And with how close the East is, they do have to kind of keep stacking up wins. It's really nice to see. They came out hot, got a little tight at the end, but they were able to keep it going. One thing, Paul, I am still very nervous about, the power play. They have not scored a power play goal since December 20th. It's not like they have always a ton of chances at it, but it always feels like I would rather have them be 5-on-5. That seems to be where they play better.
Trying to think. I don't have my numbers in front of me because I'm sitting here at practice. I think they only had one power play last night.
Yes, only one.
And Jack Quinn, I'm just sitting there shaking my head. He passed up like 3 shots. And if Jack Quinn's not going to shoot on the power play, there's no point in mm-hmm. him being in the lineup. I mean, honestly, I would not have had the same lineup Lindy Ruff had yet last night. I would have pulled Quinn out of the lineup. He has one goal in 18 games. And really, you know, some nights he's there, some nights he's not. The way Dunn has been playing with that line, I would have left it alone, and I would have put Austlin in Quinn's spot on his line, and, Quinn would have been my choice. Now, I would guess, and some coaches do this, and this is just a guess on my part, that Quinn might be in the lineup because of shootouts. He's one of the best shootouts guys in the league. And there are coaches that will do that. They will leave guys in the lineup in case you get to shootouts. And I think that's a big plus for him. And it might be one of the reasons why they are keeping him in the lineup. But on the other side of that coin, I think they've only had 3 shootouts this year. So.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1-50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They don't get to that many.
I was going to say, I'm like, it's not, it doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, so... If that's one of the thought processes, and as I said, I know for some coaches it is. You don't want your best shootout guy sitting up in the stands. Mm-hmm. That might be part of it. Thinking, well, we can't give away those points if we do get to a shootout. But that would not have been the lineup I would have had.
And then, Paul, last thing here for Thursday. Alex Lyon does go on IR. Obviously, does not work the same as the NFL, where now they're out for an extended period of time. He could come off at any point. But are we expecting Lukanen to get the start tomorrow against the Rangers?
Well, looking down here, to my left is Mr. Ellis. And usually the goaltender to my left is the one that winds up starting. I say usually. I'm not going to practice. I mean, that's the, quote, starter's net. But the starter's net is usually game day. But sometimes in practice, I mean, Lukanen has been manning that net for the most part, and it's Ellis today, and Lindy Ruff did say Ellis is going to get some time. So it might be time to give Lukanen a break now and let Ellis play. Just looking down at what I'm looking at now, and you would say, well, who what's your guess? That would be my guess, as it's Ellis, but it is a guess.
All right, sounds good. Paul, thanks for jumping on with us this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. The Sabres take on the New York Rangers tomorrow at 7 in New York, 6 p.m. pregame. The Rangers have been a brutal team at home this year. Would be nice to kind of just start another win streak here. I mean, that I think that's where people could really get bought in.
Yeah, the Rangers, we are in game 42.
Yep, this will be 42 tomorrow.
Well, Sabres will be 41, I think I saw. But
no, they just played 41. Okay. They're at 42 tomorrow.
So we're at the halfway point. And I know the Rangers have played more games than the Sabres. But we're all there, right? We're all at the halfway point. The Rangers have 5 wins in at home this year.
Oof.
Halfway through the season.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. You can't be
5.
Doing that.
It is easily the worst record at home in the NHL. It's not even close. And you even have bad teams that can effectively like dog walk you in terms of their home record.
Yeah, they're 5-10-4. Funny enough though, they're 15-8-2 on the road.
Oh wait, hang on. There is one team worse than them.
Nice.
It's the team Buffalo beat last night.
Oh.
Vancouver.
I always have a soft spot for Vancouver, but yeah, they're not good.
Vancouver is 4-12-3 at home this year.
That's
so
impressive.
Hey, good for the Sabres for beating the Canucks while they were on the road, because that's a better team.
Likewise for them though. They're 12-9-2 on the road.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually not a bad road team.
They're actually a really halfway decent road team here. Like they're almost at true 500 there, but like, hey, you know, 12 wins on the year. 12 of their 16 wins are away from home. Ew.
Yeah, and the Sabres have somewhat fixed up their road woes. A lot of that due to that win streak they had. I mean, a majority of those games were on the road. They now sit at 9-10-2 on the season when they are away from KeyBank. That game again tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame. 803-0550, the number to call. If you want to give your thoughts on the Sabres, we'd love to hear them as well. But we've been talking a lot today on Bills and Jaguars. Sunday at 1, the old reliable time. I'm not gonna not love that.
I'm so
thrilled they're at 1 o'clock. It kind of just has that old, I don't know. It's not nostalgic feel, but I always love.
I'm gonna peel myself out of bed at 5 a.m. and go, what the hell?
Right.
But I'll be fine.
I always love NFL football Sunday at 1. I'm the same way with college football. Give me Saturday at noon.
We also had 17 years of that pattern.
Yeah. So I got used to it. We'll go back to the phones here and we'll start the segment off with Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing?
Hey, you doing good today?
What do you got for us?
You guys were talking about the Harbaughs earlier, and it got me thinking, now that John Harbaugh is a free agent, not coaching in the playoffs, how much do you think he'll be assisting his brother with the game plan for this weekend?
I think this would be more realistic, and Tom, thanks for the call, if he was fired in the middle of the season. Because then I'm in a holding pattern. I've got to wait until every other team is making moves, so I'll go help out my brother. Now you're already seeing it. He is going to be the hottest name on the
market. He might have a lot of phone calls.
He probably is just not going to have enough time, even if he wanted to. I think there's also that feeling of, no, I got to focus on my career. You got your thing going on. I'm going to go. I mean, we're already hearing it. The Giants are going to be in on him. He's probably going to have interviews with the Titans and all those groups. Again, if it was the middle of the season, I could totally see it where he jumps in as an advisor and maybe, you know, still has his interviews, but he's already been in the building. He hasn't been in the building all year. I understand the point. I think it's just the timing has not worked out.
I will say that if he wants to, he can take his time with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that really fascinates me. But yeah, he's going to have so many phone calls right now based on his immediate availability that I don't know how much time he'll have to even help out his brother. John Harbaugh might also decide, I'm going to just take some time and get away from football for a bit here.
I thought that was the case until all the reports yesterday of like, he's already the Giants guy. He's already heard from all these teams. I think if he was going to take a break.
I'm talking about like these next few weeks.
Oh, he takes his time.
Yeah. You take your time, disconnect from the sport for a little bit. It's a daunting schedule for coaches, and he's been doing it for the same team for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new. It's all new to him. He can take his time. Also, Mad Dog needs to shut up.
Oh, wow.
Mad Dog is mad. The Bills made a big deal over the final game at Highmark. Sorry, you don't know what community is, Mad Dog.
That's tough. Also, real quick on Harbaugh, last thing for him. I also wonder, because you mentioned that he may take some time, how many of these teams now are going to wait on hiring a head coach because they're waiting on Harbaugh to make that decision? You also have Kevin Stefanski, former head coach. It could be the old boys club kind of year for coaching candidates, because you've also got Mike McCarthy out there. We've heard Jason Garrett is getting an interview with Tennessee. Brian Flores is a former head coach. His name is really out there for the amazing work he's done with Minnesota's defense. it seems to be a lot of former head coaches that are going to get shots here. Harbaugh, though, is probably chief among them, and I could see a lot of teams just want to wait. We want to see who he goes to first, especially if you feel like you're in the running there. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.